It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Great form by you hitting play on this podcast. Now, check out Same Racer, the brand new racing app for same race multi-tips. Same Racer. Download from the App Store and Google Play. Powered by BlueBet.
Gamble responsibly. Call 1-800-858-858.
Yablet! Four goals to Yablet.
Oh, Jabalenko, you're guilty.
Justin Madden's got the set. One hand.
Oh, the post is broken. Matthew's hit it. Talk about a he-man.
Dream rises to the top. He is an absolute legend of the game.
This is your football life with Rex Hunt for Tobin Brothers Funerals. Celebrating lives.
Oh, Matthew, you better believe it. And they keep on coming on behalf of Tobin Brothers. And Tobin Brothers just say, let's celebrate lives now and not when the obvious happens. And this is your football life today, folks. And I know a lot of you out there sitting in coffee shops or driving along like to have a few clues at who our person is. The VFL-AFL is a wonderful Australian game, as we all know, and thousands of men have played the game at this, the highest level. Some play and move on. Others have more of an impact and leave a lasting impression that will be indelibly recorded in the history of the game forever. And our man today is one such player. I'll give you a real strong clue where he crossed the Nullarbor today to speak to this champion. 276 games for West Coast, 1992 and 94 premiership player, four-time club best and fairest, dual Australian, and inducted into the AFL Hall of Fame, one of the highest levels available to individuals, in 2008. You got him? I think you're right. Glenn Jakovic, welcome to This Is Your Footy Life.
G'day, Rex. Great to be on the program.
Well, isn't that lovely of you to say so? Because I, first of all, just want to say you're one of the reasons I went to the footy, and your duels with some of the great centre-half forwards of all time were amazing, but particularly you and Carey, who stand to me as probably the greatest centre-half back and centre-half forward to play in my time. It's just lovely to have you on board. Tell us a little bit about your progression to when you thought you might be a chance at the highest level. Were you an above-average junior player?
Yeah, I was. I was a bit of a man-child, Rex. I guess from my background, Croatian background, I had good parents that fed me well, and growing through the juniors and through South Fremantle Football District, which was a rich football environment down in the Fremantle District. Just progressed through the Colts, and back then the State School Boys and the Teal Cup. And from there, I played league footy at a very young age with South Fremantle. Stan Magro was my coach and a great influence and mentor in my career. And through the 80s, South Fremantle were a pretty big club. Had some great players, Stephen Michaels, Maurice Rioli, and the likes. And
goodness me.
And then Morris came back after his stint with Richmond, and he came to South Fremantle, and I played my first league game when Morris came back to South Fremantle for a couple of years. We played in the grand final, played some final series there, and it was pretty much that path following South Fremantle that I wanted to play league footy, because there was no AFL yet. There was no West Coast Eagles, and I just wanted to play local footy for South Fremantle and hopefully play like those two players in particular. But we saw the change of the game, and the landscape really changed from the VFL to the AFL. And then from there, I was coming through my teenage years, which was a perfect time to come through. And I got drafted. So I was pretty much around that South Fremantle era when I was in playing Colts football that, I wanted to make a fist of this. I wanted to play league footy and then strive to play, VFL footy at the time. I was a mad Carlton supporter. You had a lot of West Australians like Kenny Hunter, Peter Bezusto, John Dorotich, and the lights just continue to come from WA over to Carlton. And the Eagles came into the competition, and I got drafted as a pre-draft selection. They had the priority picks back then.
That's yes, yes. Glenn Jakovich joins us. He's a star. We're talking to him across the Nullarbor today, and thanks for joining us on behalf of Tobin Brothers. It's highlighted for me, you know, talking to Graham Corns and talking to legends over there like Peter Matera, and we spoke to Barry Cable, that I suppose with the national competition, you know, now fully entrenched in the competition, that a lot of people forget just how strong the South Australian domestic competition and the Waffle was. It was football of the highest level in your own state, and it was highlighted, you know, by the amount of players who crossed the Nullarbor to play in the VFL.
And also to add to that, Rex, was state of origin football. We were quite dominant in the 80s, the Western Australian teams. We had some thrilling, you know, encounters with the Big Vic, the Big V and Teddy Whitten, and they'd come to Subiaco Oval and, you know, we'd voluntarily take a day off school, mate, to come and go to and watch that game. And same with South Australian Football Park. So our pinnacle was, as a kid growing up, was to represent your state jumper, your state, and play state of origin. And that was something that I was very fortunate enough to do at a very young age. I was 17, and we ran out in the Whacker and I played state of origin and, you know, playing on the likes of Paul Salmon in his prime, Stephen Silvani, had Flea Waitman, and you know, Timmy Watson, Gary Ablett playing, and Dermot Brereton.
Goodness me!
You know, I was just pinching myself with some of the guys I was playing against. Danny Frawley was there. It was just, you know, Gavin Brown. It was unbelievable.
Good to me,
the talent that was playing. And then 12 months later, we played him the same team again, and we beat him at the Wacker Ground. So,
cool.
You know, we had a very young Peter Matera, Chris Mainwaring, captain of the side, John Morsfold, you know, Darren Buick, you had Ben Allen, all the players from Victoria come back, like Derek Kickett and Nicky Winmar. So, you know, that was just a great time to be playing, you know, state footy, and we're all playing AFL footy, but state footy was just still pretty good then. It was hanging on for dear life, but you know, in the next couple of years, it kind of phased out. But to, you know, I guess what the competition is now, I don't begrudge the competition where it's at. I love the game. I love where it's at, and you know, it's fantastic. But I do, you know, sadly miss the state of origin concept.
Yeah, and I don't think it'll ever come back. And you know, watching recently, you know, Queensland and New South Wales, and they're going to come to Melbourne, that sort of thing. But I said to somebody else, I forget who it was, that you wouldn't risk your very, very best player, or you wouldn't like your best player to come down with a horrible injury. But anyhow, that's another subject for another day. 1990 was a special time for you. As a 17-year-old, you completed 46 individual football matches. You not only got to have stamina, you got to be pretty injury-free. And goodness me, that set you up for where you were to go in the next few years.
Yeah, fast-tracked my development a little bit, but I was playing, I think, league footy and state of origin and, you know, all these other games that I was playing at the time, and then I was still playing school footy as well, so I was playing Till Cup, went to the carnival there, and there was state footy in South Australia, so there was a lot of footy at the time, and I was playing with men. I was still a kid, but I was playing against men, and I quickly learned some quick tricks and and not to expose yourself and you know, get in the gym pretty quickly. But it was great grounding. I look back with such fond memories with some of the people that I played with. And it was good people around. There was good coaches. And, you know, they looked after me. They you know, they knew that I was a pretty hungry kid, that I wanted to get out there and play with a lot of enthusiasm. But they still protected me to make sure that, you know, I didn't cop a serious injury. And they wanted to see that I, you know, have a long career and play for the next 10 or 12 years, which I was able to do. So
fantastic.
I love that time, Rex. It was a great time.
Oh, it was. It was a great time to be there, I'm sure, and also to witness it. Glenn Jakovich, our 276-game veteran from the West Coast, is with us today. Debuted for the West Coast in 1991. People say you've got to be in the right place at the right time.
Yeah.
You were. The bloke had just coached Footscray, a Richmond Premiership player and a former St Kilda, you know, player, Mick Malthouse, who's been in the news lately. He crossed the Nullarbor, and you debuted in round 12 in 1991 under Mick. Tell us a little bit about your first impressions and your involvement with mighty Mick Malthouse.
There was many. He was a man on a mission. He came over, and he came over with a big statement, a footprint or stamp of authority on the whole state, not just the West Coast Eagles. And he had a particular method. He had some thoughts. He had some disciplines. And he had a game plan. And by gee, didn't he have an impact straight away? Not only just to, with the West Coast Eagles, but he became a state coach. He was the state of origin coach. It was bizarre. We had a Victorian coaching of Western Australian state of origin side, which we won in 1991. So he was demonised by you boys over the East because he infiltrated over to the West and started to give us some success. But Mick was... It was his way or the highway. He was a disciplinarian. He shook the club right up that it needed the shaking. It needed, to build a foundation and, jump on for the ride because we're going places. And he had very good administrators in Brian Cook and Trevor Nesbitt. The three amigos each had a role to play and they played it perfectly in there.
And they highlighted the fact that you not only got to be good on the field, you got to be good off the field. There's a lot of things got to come together, and Glenn Jakovich has joined us today to celebrate his footy life, which is just immense. And the history of the game is written, he'll take his rightful place. Malthouse came from the Western Oval with a real reputation as don't stuff with me or you'll come undone. Brad Hardy, a famous Brownlow medalist from across the Nullarbor, picked his Guernsey up and waved it at Mick. You didn't have such a serious run-in with Mick, but you found out what Mick thought about you kicking around your body in a game against Hawthorn, that they kicked a goal and you warmed the bench for the rest of the game. Tell us a bit about that.
Yeah, it was pretty famous. It was the first ever final taken out of Victoria. We played Hawthorn, who we beaten twice during the home and away season. It was a qualifying final. We were favoured to win. Pretty soggy conditions. Winter was still there. And Subi was a bit of a mud heap. Hawthorn came over. They physically went at us. It was a great game, but we just were off the boil a little bit from what we demonstrated in the previous home and away series where we were so dominant. But this is finals, and that's what Hawthorn came to show us all about. They played in seven consecutive grand finals through the 80s. And I took a mark just before halftime. I was on the halfback flank on the commentary side. Andrew Lockyer peeled off Jason Dunstall on the outer wing, and all I had to do was get it to him, and it was that open, and Subi was always a bit of an open type of a ground that you could play on the scoreboard wing, and all I had to do was get it to him, and the old, I guess, basic rule is peel off the mark, get back quickly, and then kick over the ball, but I tried to kick around the corner and just screw kick the ball over to him. I slipped, hit the inside of my ankle, and Ben Allen picks up the crappy kick, Rex, and runs in and kicks an easy goal. I just handed one over.
Yeah,
and, the siren went, and I knew I was in trouble. But my youthful years and lack of experience, I thought, well, I'll go face the coach. So I was first in, which was a wrong move. I should have been the 22nd man in, which I might have forgotten by then. But he grabbed me and basically pinned me up against the wall, and it was a bit of a jumper punch, if that's the way you want to say it.
Yeah.
But he was fuming. He was absolutely fuming, and rightfully so, because I broke one of his rules. I was playing millionaire-type football in wet conditions, and it's the first final, so the stakes are pretty high. And I was just very inexperienced at the time. It was my first final, and he basically told me, if you're not going to play my way, pack your bags and go somewhere else. And he
goodness me.
The whole player group, and I sat on the bench for the remainder of the game. So he basically gave me a good football spray.
It's a pretty transparent, although you see and you're not here, it's just say you're either here or you're not. And Glenn Jakovich joins us on This Is Your Football Life for Tobin Brothers. And out of the break, we talk about the two great years of the premierships of the West Coast crossing the Nullarbor to take the title. We talk about some of his famous teammates, what the game means to him now, and plenty more to come on behalf of This Is Your Football Life. Glenn Jakovich, you can check us out on Twitter at Rex Football Life. And out of the break, we continue on with Glenn Jakovich right around the nation for Tobin Brothers Funerals, celebrating the footy life of a champion.
Yabba! You're listening to This Is Your Football Life with Rex Hunt for Tobin Brothers Funerals, celebrating lives.
Dream rises to the top. He is an absolute legend of the game.
You're listening to This Is Your Football Life with Rex Hunt for Tobin Brothers Funerals, celebrating lives.
And thank you very much to Tobin Brothers allowing us to celebrate the footy life of Glenn Jakovich, one of the all-time greats of the game, one of the all-time greats crossing the Nullarbor, showing us his skills in two premierships. It's absolutely fantastic. Your brother Alan played at Melbourne, really flamboyant, but could certainly kick goals. And you and Alan actually played on each other. It must have been quite strange at the highest level.
Yeah, it was, Rex, but something that we cherished. We played state footy together, but we played on six occasions against each other, and not that I'm counting, but the Eagles won five and he only won one. But the one that he did win, he planted the big kiss on my forehead, the MCG, in front of about 60,000 people. And our dear mum, God bless her soul, but she was there, and she was pretty proud that...
Isn't that great?
Well, one of her sons got up that day, but it was in the middle of our... glory years of winning a couple of premierships, and football in that period of my life. I was pretty young. I was 19, 20 years of age, and playing in the MCG, playing against my brother, playing in finals, and playing in winning grand finals as well.
So, and how good was that?
Pretty special.
You know, I remember, you know, as a young broadcaster, finding my way and, you know, getting excited, but none bigger excitement than you and Wayne Carey, the King, playing against each other. It was almost the last bastion of why people went to the footy. You know, I think it's a shame we don't see, you know, great champions pitted against one another now, but you must have been aware that this is your biggest challenge, because he was the best and you turned out to be the best. It must have been absolutely exhilarating being on the field of battle.
Yeah, it was. It was, you know, those moments where, I guess, this is where Mick played his role as a great teacher, great mentor, and a great motivator. He challenged you at every time, and... I played on Wayne in the early parts of our career on just for a half a footy, and he touched me up completely one night at the MCG Friday night footy. And he went through us individually after the game, and he told me, he says, listen, yeah, you got a good touch-up, didn't you? That boy Carey's going to be a superstar. Kind of nodded, and he goes, you reckon you can play on him? I obviously said, yes, I can.
Yeah.
He says, well, you better learn very quickly, because if you don't, I'll find someone that can.
Mm. And that's a highlight of the highest level. And you know, I've always said that the highest level of footy is only park footy played at a frenetic pace and a frenetic pressure. You either get used to the heat and the pressure in the kitchen, or you go down to the pie stand and get a pie and sauce.
That's well summed up, Rex. But and we're basically, you know, 19 and 20 years of age when we started playing against each other, and it was, we played on each other for the next 12 years, and epic battles in finals. And I really loved playing on Wayne. He gave me a few sleepless nights, but he was just such a dominant player. But he was a guy that took you to the contest every time, which pleased me first and foremost, because I knew that, well, I'm going to be a part of the action. I'm going to have a better chance than anyone else to get the football, so I've just got to pit my wits and strengths and, you know, my strengths against him, and hopefully I come out, you know, better each time. And, you know, I had some really good battles, had some really good outcomes, had some tough ones as well, but then again, there's no shame in losing a battle to someone of his, football ability. And it was great. And going back to your question, it is sad. I do go to the footy and I love watching, you know, great players play, but I don't get to see Ablett v. Judd for the full four quarters. And, you know, you see them go at each other, each contest. But and that's the same with the key position. These days they roll and grab the most dangerous player, and they play on three or four different opponents. You know,
do you think today, Glenn Jakovich, that the kids really want to play the game like you and I did? You as a kid, you know, were just focused on playing the best footy you can, or do you think there's too many other interruptions or too many other sort of things that kids can do today, not only sport?
I think they like to play the game, but they know there's other options.
Yeah.
Whereas we thrived, and it was, life and death for us. We treated
it was.
It
as, yeah.
We had so much passion. We loved the game, but we respected the game. I think the kids today, they like the game, possibly love the game, but I'm not sure if they respect the game, because you could, I could go back and tell you who won the grand final and who they beat, and some of the players from 30 years prior to when I first... you know, was even born.
Yeah.
Because I researched the game. I loved seeing why, you know, there was 112,000 people at the MCG and the 1966 Grand Final.
Goodness me.
You could go through all these things, you know. Yeah. But today, some of our kids wouldn't even know who Tony Lockett is. He's the greatest player ever to play and kicked the most goals ever.
Goodness me.
I asked some of the 17-year-olds, who's Tony Lockett? And they look at me with a blank face.
Oh, goodness me. Glenn Jakovich has joined us, folks, a star of the game on behalf of Tobin Brothers, celebrating the footy life of Glenn. Some of your teammates are household names. It just sees, but there for the grace of God go I, that you were at the right place at the right time. Do you catch up with your mates in an official and unofficial capacity and talk about those great days like old blokes like myself and my rest of my teammates do at Richmond?
Yeah, we do, Rex. We have a special club because not only did we play in premierships, but a lot of those guys were there for the first ever game.
Yeah.
I wasn't, but we were pretty much there in the formative years. So the club means a lot more to us because in the formative years, the club, you know, weren't the most professional. They struggled a bit. They sacked two coaches, went and got Mick Mouldhouse, got rid of CEO. So it was a bit of a mess for the first couple of years. Mm. But I guess it was more just understanding the landscape. And once they did understand the landscape and, you know, got some real ruthless characters as far as, you know, Brian Cook, Trevor Nesbitt and Mick Mouldhouse, as far as their football knowledge, their business acumen, they really built the club. And we were part of that. And they made us feel very inclusive of building the club, growing the membership, taking it to Kalgoorlie, to Karratha, to Port Hedland, to Shark Bay, to taking it all parts of Western Australia and really make it a state club.
Yeah.
We were the forefront. Not only were we training, but we were going out doing membership drives. When we won the first premiership, we took it to all parts of Western Australia to embrace more people. So, you know, you hear of premiership reunions every 10 years. Well, 10 years is a long time. We do stuff for that. We do it every year.
That's fantastic.
Because we love each other's company. And they're too good of blokes to have to wait two or three years to catch up with. Life is too short. And unfortunately, we've lost one already in the late, great Chris
Maney.
And that's really brought us together even more so.
I heard Alistair Clarkson say at the end of last year's grand final that they won't know it now, but 30 years' time they'll realise that this is a bond and a friendship for life, and you can not see someone for 10 years and not recognise them, and all of a sudden, I've found, and I won't speak for you, it's when you see someone after a while that you've been on a premiership side with on the MCG, it's as if you've never, ever been away.
Fully agree. And look, I'm not saying our premiership's any different to the one you played in and the one that Hawthorn played last year and the one that Essendon won in 2000. They're all special. Mm. There's no doubting that. But ours was just different because our club had only just formed 6 years earlier. We lost the one the year before. We had some amazing journeys already. We took the first ever grand final out of Victoria. So it was us versus them mentality. It was the first time an interstate side had gone to the MCG on grand final day, and we took the Holy Grail away from
the
Victorians. So we kind of have a lot of people. It's special amongst ourselves, but we have a lot of people. I was in Kalgoorlie not long ago and just doing a fundraiser there, and I had people that came to me and said, you know, they're wholeheartedly, they're really respectful, and they said, we drove from Kalgoorlie to Perth, from Perth down to the Nullarbor, because I had to go and collect some friends, and got to the MCG, but they had no tickets. So they actually, on grand final day, managed to get all single tickets, because they said, we're not missing this grand final, because they were confident we were going to win, and they wanted to be a part of history. And then they say that they've still got dirt, because they ended up going, you were allowed to go on the MCG after the game, I guess.
You're
allowed to have a kick on there.
Yeah, you are.
So what they did, they pinched a heap of dirt and put it in their pockets, and they brought it home and bottled it, because they re-dug the turf up after that year. They got rid of the dirt, the original MCG.
See, because all these people, you know, were like you. All you wanted to do was play at the highest level. So did they. They weren't good enough, and this is, you know, their little slice of the action. And that's why it makes Australia such a unique place, because one of the first questions, not how are you, or sorry I cut you off, mate, or, you know, you've eaten my steak, is say, who do you barrack for? You've had that all your life.
All our lives, and that's the beauty about our game. It just embraces everyone that's involved in it. from whatever background you're from,
yeah,
just embrace it. If you can play, or if you can be involved, if you're an administrator, if you're the boot starter or the guy that cooks the soup on the Wednesday night, they just want to be a part of a club. And that's what our football club was back in the early, late 80s, early 90s.
It's been fantastic. Our time is up. And on behalf of Tobin Brothers, we've celebrated your footy life. And just on a personal note, I'm enjoying your commentary on radio. I like listening to it. I like the incisive comments and that. You're sounding well. I hope that's the case. And Glenn Jakovic, this has been your football life. And that was fantastic. If you'd like to hear the extended version of this interview, check out facebook.com/ Tobin Brothers Funerals or follow us on Twitter at Rex Football Life. This has been This Is Your Football Life, thanks to Tobin Brothers Celebrating Lives. Join us next week from 7:30 a.m. on Sunday morning on 1116 SEN.
It's Tyre Power's Big Footy Final Sale. To kick things off, you can get the power to buy three and get one free on selected Toyo passenger car and SUV tyres. Tyre Power's Big Footy Final Sale can't last. Visit tyrepower.com.au now.